Come up. Pastor Andrew came up and shared about a little 40-day devotional, kind of works us all the way up to Easter that he and a few his guys put together. So those should be in the back also. Can we make sure that those are going to be in the back also? They are. Okay. Thanks, Donna. And so pick up one of those, and we just thought it'd be neat for the church to kind of be doing together as we move towards Easter. Also today at Children at Risk, which is at 3 p.m. over here in the Agape Room, Kelly's going to be sharing. We're going to do two things. We're going to debrief a little bit about our Justice Sunday, and so anyone's welcome to bring comments and suggestions to that. But Kelly's going to talk about how I can make a difference. And so, you know, we had talked about that, and maybe your heart was touched and wanting to do something and not sure what. She literally has about 30-plus different ways in which you can get involved. And so it's a very practical kind of workshop that she's going to be sharing, and so we invite you out to that, and that'll be at 3 p.m. in the Agape Room. And celebration place is in your bulletin that was supposed to launch this week. We're going to put it off for about a month, and so Pastor Dan asked me to announce that we're not going to be starting this week. We're going to put it out a month. You know, we have Celebrate Recovery for the adults. We have The Landing for the kids, and Celebration Place is for the younger kids, and so that's not going to be starting up Thursday, just to kind of an FYI and to let you know. Thrive, I had mentioned, I think, a couple weeks back or maybe last week, but it's something that we're starting up, and it's only going to be for 3 Sundays, and then it'll be off for 3 months, and then 3 Sundays, and we'll do, ultimately, there's a series of 12 teachings throughout the year. And basically what they're for is to learn or revisit the Bible's foundational truths. And so they're going to meet in the Mercy Room, which is our building downstairs on the end. And with that, our first three topics in March, first 3 Sundays in March, first three topics: what is the Bible, who is God, and who am I? And so it'll be a smaller kind of classroom environment, Q&A, kind of lecture teaching, but it'll be neat to be able to get those, if you're looking for kind of those foundations. And then also what we want to say is anytime that you hear of the series, and we'll remind you each time that they come up, maybe it's just one of the class. They're during third service. And so maybe come to second and then pop into that class for third. And so maybe there's just one topic you kind of want to brush up on or had questions on. We invite you out for that. And we hope it'll be a great way of meeting some of the leadership here at the church and also getting connected to others in the church, maybe even taking it further into discipleship. And so I'll let you know that'll be coming up or starting up March 6th. Then our Married Couples Ministry wanted me to remind you of Cooking Better Together, which is a class that Mike and Karen Caruso set up. They love cooking, and so they're going to do it right here in our kitchen or just outside of our kitchen. They're going to do that on Saturday, March 5th, and then March 12th, and then April 2nd. So the details are in the bulletin. You can grab that. But if that sounds interesting to you, come on out for that. It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. And with our City Serve, just found out last night that they said last day to sign up is tomorrow. And it's like, what? So we're all back and forth on emails and everything else. But bottom line is they need to order the t-shirts if you want a t-shirt. So please, 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 please get signed up today. Here's what we did. As we had set up to be able to do this, to be able to serve our cities. We're doing it in Temecula, Murrieta, Menifee, and Wildomar. As we did that, we each kind of added up how many people we have in our church. And with all of our kids, we have about 3,000 if we put all of our, you know, kids in junior high and high school all together. And so, you know, we're trying to calculate how many people would sign up. So far, we have 54 of you have signed up. So you got to get signed up. So please help us out with that. We got a lot of things that we've said, told our city, hey, we want to serve you and we want to do this. And so we actually need to like show up and do it. So help us out. So please get signed up. You can just go to cityserve16.com and be able to get signed up with that. And we'd love for you to help us out. So it's for March 5th and 6th, that Saturday and Sunday. You can pick which project you'd like to work on, but help us serving our city. And please get signed up for that. Also to let you know, last week might have been the week right before that, both Larry and I got email from our friends from Partners with Brad and Steve Gumer. And they had just come from the Shan state of Burma, given away all of their money, went to the Rohingyas, with the weather that had sat in there and just deplorable situations, and basically needed finances to be able to help out. We had some money in our relief fund, about half of this. So anyways, we sent them $10,000. I wanted you to know that's, if you give here at the church, that was part of your giving. And so a lot of times we forget when we do things like that, we just say, yeah, let's do it, let's help. And we just help. And then we never kind of communicate that back to you. So we had about $5,000 in the fund, and we put in another $5,000 to be able to help out. And they did like 40,000 tons of rice. I mean, it was just something crazy with the amount of food and some water wells and other things that they were able to bring in to help out the Rohingya people that that I went and got to minister to back in August. And so continue to pray for the Rohingya people group. Most persecuted group on earth are Muslim, and for partners to be able to step in, they just got a great working relationship, and so we get to be the hands and feet of Jesus to this people group that nobody wants to help. And so it's been a blessing to be able to have these opportunities to be able to serve them. This time I want to introduce up, we have a new middle school director with Dominic and Carrie Lee planning on moving to Belize in summer. We've been working on this, and so Jason here, come on up, Jason. You can welcome up, Jason. Hi, buddy. Connects well with the kids. They love and respect him. And so I thought I'd kind of introduce him up this way with some of his nicknames. I call him Jason the Red. He's also known, he's a 2-degree black belt? Is it a 2nd degree?
Yes.
Okay, 2nd degree black belt. So they call him the Jinja Ninja. That's another one. And then the other one I don't know, but I was told that you're called Peter Pancake. So maybe you can explain that to where that came from.
Thanks a lot, Andrew Lacasse, for that one. But a couple of years back, we did a little food event for the middle schoolers after a Wednesday night service. And Andrew Lacasse, who was helping out in middle school at the time with Dominic and Carrie Lee, he asked me, hey, would you be able to dress up in green and walk around handing out pancakes? We can call it Peter Pancakes. And so I had to walk around with like green tights and a green tunic and be like, here's some Peter Pancakes. Would you like Peter Pancakes? So that's where that one came up. Yeah, so Brian asked me to share a little bit about myself. I'd been involved in the middle school ministry for about 5 years now. I started right out of high school. I grew up going to church here for a youth group, all the way through junior high to high school, and right afterwards joined middle school. And I got to work with Carrie Lee and Dominic for quite a while. It was a real good blessing. And then in that, I really developed a heart for the middle schoolers. For me, I realized that was my time and season of life where I learned that I needed Jesus so much. That's where I developed my salvation story, if you would. It was all through junior high, and then it just peaked up into high school, because right into high school is where I got saved. But it all had to do with my junior high life, my junior high time, and struggling with life and trying to understand the real questions of life, like, who am I? Why am I here? Is God real? And to be able to come back and bless them and help lead them through that time, or help them get to thinking about some of these questions now in that time of their life, is super awesome and super fun. Anything else?
Really beautiful. Well, I want to say we're blessed to be able to have you. There's guys like this that kind of grow up within the church, and we get to watch. And a lot of times it becomes a conversation with Kelly's one of your greatest advocates, and she's just like, we can't let, because you were talking about joining the military, a lot of different things, and she's like, so we're just going to let them go? Come on, hire them, you know. And so you'll have to thank my wife on that one for sure. But we love you and appreciate you, and we love that you're in there with the kids and doing Peter Pancakes. We know that you're right for them. So
I try not to dress up in green anymore.
Exactly. Don't do that, man. Thank you. Love you, bud. Thanks, man. Thank you. You know, with the middle schoolers and high schoolers, it's just, it truly is such a great calling to work with the kids, where some folks that you talk to is just like, okay, I know I'm not cut out for that age. And when they are cut out for that, you just know it. And it's just something that's really sweet. Well, this next part's going to be the hardest thing I do today. I didn't want to be here with you today, I'll guarantee you that, just because I don't like crying in front of people. But our friend Janie went home to be with the Lord yesterday. And back in October, when she was diagnosed with cancer, they originally started saying it was going to be 4 to 6 months. And it was just completely out of the blue, just completely out of the blue. She got some fluid built up around her heart, which had them look into other things. And pretty soon they diagnosed her with starting off with stage 4 cancer. But with it, she was taking really good to the cancer treatments and stuff, but this fluid kept building up around her heart and became more of this heart issue. And yesterday, we got a call at 1 o'clock in the morning, or I guess that's late Friday night. And so we went and got to be there with the family. And so then became 12 hours of, you know, just up and down and different ideas. My wife, Kelly, had power of attorney, and so just with her parents there and her kids, Abby and Maxine. Jane has been at our church from our old building, and so 20 plus years, and so got to see both of the kids kind of birthed into this world. And so Jane has just been part of our family, and you know, when I go through that time, I truly hope I can handle it the way she handled it. Never once did we ever hear her doubt anything of God. It's when you realize what your faith is all about at that point on all these things that we learn about each and every week and coming together and studying this book and saying that we love this God that we love, but you know, it's those times where she didn't skip a beat. It was just like, this is what the Lord wants her to do. Yeah, she hurt for her kids and what was going to happen with them. And there was always the potential of it being out for a year or a couple years that we were going to have. We all thought we were going to have a whole lot more time with her and all of that. But man, it just reminds me of the brevity of life. In the midst of sitting with about 20... like say family and friends in the ICU unit, ICU, you know, they have the little rooms that you sit in, and we demolished that room. We just took it over and just going from crying to laughing and all of that. But it was interesting, all during that 12-hour kind of time period, every time a baby was born, we were up at Kaiser Fontana, every time a baby was born, they would lightly play in the background over the speakers a lullaby. And so in the midst of just everything that you're dealing with death, there is just this beautiful lullaby in the background of another life being born into the world, and something really beautiful. Well, we don't have any details, as it just happened yesterday and on when our... when we'll be able to do memorial service this week, but we'll put it on our church Facebook and to be able to let you know, because there's so many people in life. She worked in with our PE, with our elementary, and so it's kind of like so many people know Jaina and love her to pieces, and with her school and her church, I just want to pause right now and let's just pray for especially Abby and Maxine. Maxine's a sophomore over at Murrieta Valley, and Abby is at CBU right now as a freshman. Both are stud water polo players. They're great. Lord, we lift up the girls to you, and so difficult for kids at that age, as they're trying to figure out life and in the midst of mom being taken away. But I thank you, God, for their faith and how you're growing them through that, and just to hear their prayers over their mom. That ripped my heart out. So beautiful, so touching. We pray, God, that you would be their strength, that you just continue to build them up in you, Jesus, that you would cause them just to continue to run into your arms and be embraced by you and get strength from you, be empowered by you to take each day at a time. be with the family, be with Jana's mom and dad. We just pray, God, that in the midst of this, Lord, you would just work, save souls, touch lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So in the midst of that, if you'll turn with me to Matthew, we're supposed to be in Matthew 7. I had about half of it done, and it was on not judging, ask, seek, and knock, the golden rule, and I thought, I'm going to put that off till next Sunday. I had a backup for another pastor friend to step in and do that, because I didn't know what the day was going to entail and what was all going to happen, and then the end of it is just thought, I need to be here. I knew it was going to be hard, but I just need to be here. So this is what I came up with last night, is look at the very last verse of chapter 6. We had finished up chapter 6, so I'm running back. We're taking one step backwards, and I'm just going to grab that last verse that's there. And as you see it, it says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And maybe that's what was so impressed upon my heart yesterday, was just the trouble of that day. Now, again, your mind can always go to the God factor. Brian, she's with Jesus. And that is one thing that the Lord shared with me is, hey, Jana gets to, she gets to celebrate this next Easter with Jesus. And so that's pretty cool. And so we know. Jana's in a better place. We know Jana's good. Jana's taken care of and all of that. It's us, the sorrow on this end of missing her and that. But truly each and every day does have its troubles. And that's where I hope to hit on the honesty of that. So our title is Today's Mercies for Today's Troubles, and then Tomorrow's Mercies for Tomorrow's Troubles, because there will be, in fact, troubles tomorrow also. And hopefully it's not a depressing message. Hopefully it's a message of reality and realism as we go through that. He said it. He placed it here. It's a truth that's there. And so as he does that, he also gives us promises that go with that. And that's, of course, what I want to grab onto. We've all heard the song by Ray, however you pronounce his last name. Where it starts off trouble, and he says, oh, trouble, 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 trouble. Feels like every time I get back on my feet, she came around and knocked me down again. And the next stanza is worry. Oh, worry, 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 worry. Sometimes I swear it feels like this worry is my only friend. Anyone feel like this might be a good theme song for their life? Trouble, worry. You know, we just spent from verse 25 to 34 is all about that you don't have to worry. You're not supposed to worry. If you're worrying, then you're not doing something else. You're not talking to the Lord about it. You're not seeking him, his advice, what to do next, and pointing us in that direction. So today's mercies for today's troubles. In this verse 34 that we just read, Jesus returns full circle to the beginning of his discussion, which was started back in verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. And so it's kind of bookend from verse 25 down to verse 34 of not worrying. And he's basically saying it's one day at a time. Quit looking back. You don't know if tomorrow's coming. Today. What about today? And really, I think both of these go back to same chapter, chapter 6, but all the way back in verse 11, where in his prayer, our Father, in his prayer, it's give us this day our daily bread. Learning how to be present. Learning how, with the brevity of life, it's about today. And so, as we read it already out of the New King James, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Then the New Living Translation, so don't worry about tomorrow. Whoops, thought I had these up behind us here. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Then the third one out of the Message Bible, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. Don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. So we realize that God does not overload any day with trouble. He is going to give us trouble in the midst of our day for our growth, to build our faith, a lot of different reasons, but first and foremost, we need to know that one day isn't going to be overloaded. We might feel like it is, but it isn't, according to him, overloaded any day with any trouble. Each day has then its appointed amount. So all the more, don't reach in tomorrow and bring tomorrow's troubles into today. That would be foolish. And the reminder, and again, I shared on it towards the end of last Sunday's message in Lamentations, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning, great is your faithfulness. But that phrase there, be new every morning, because we'll deal with tomorrow tomorrow. It'll all be fresh. We'll get to begin again tomorrow. We truly have to take life one day at a time. Each day has its own appointed troubles, and there are new mercies appointed for us every day so that we could bear them. Trust him. They'll be there. Now, this should not be understood as a transference of worry to another day. Like, don't worry today, but you're going to have to worry tomorrow. That's not what it's saying. This passage commands that one should stop worrying and rely on God for his gracious provision. And so really, worry is unbelief parading in disguise. Unbelief parading in disguise. We realize then worry is not only a sin against God, but it's also a sin against ourselves. As one put it this way, worry is a slow form of suicide. Why? Because, well, it poisons our systems, thus shortening our lives. If you're a worrywart, if you're one that's constantly in that, you know, that under that pressure of anxiety and all of that, you know, we talked about it a little bit last week of medically what that does to us physiologically, what it does to us emotionally. It just beats us down, it wears us down. We all heard of the story back in 1912 at 11:40 p.m. on April 14th. The lookout on the Titanic, his name was Frederick Fleet, spotted an iceberg immediately ahead of the Titanic, alerted the bridge. First Officer William Murdoch ordered the ship to be steered around the obstacle and the engines to be put in reverse. But as we all know the story, it was too late. Starboard side of the Titanic struck the iceberg, creating a series of holes beneath the waterline. This is a point that I want to make for the next point that I'm going to add to it. Five of the ship's watertight compartments were breached. It soon became clear that the ship was doomed, as she could not survive more than four of the compartments being flooded. Titanic began sinking bow first, with water spilling from compartment to compartment as her angle in the water became steeper. Now, you probably won't be able to see this from way back there, but as cruise ships, as battleships, as ships are designed in that, they have all these little pockets or these little compartments in the way, down in the hole, and the way that they're set up that way so they can handle a breach. So they can take a direct hit and completely blow out one of those sections. But again, the way the compartments are designed and all of that, be able to stay afloat. And so even with a Titanic designed back in the day that it could take up to four, but because it took in that fifth, it couldn't handle, couldn't stay buoyant. So they have these watertight compartments. It's called the ship's floodability. It's the susceptibility of a ship's construction to this whole flooding thing. Then I was reading on it and said the Navy and the Coast Guard, they have a maintenance and emergency repair specialist, and they're called damage controlmen. With this in mind, in your voyage and my voyage in life, we need to learn how to operate the watertight doors that God has provided for us so you and I can stay afloat. Because we're going to get breached. We're going to become the target of whether it's the enemy or this world or whoever it is. But all of a sudden, we're going to take one to the hole. But it doesn't mean we have to go down. He's designed us to be able to stay afloat if, in fact, we've designed our hole the proper way. And so we need to shut out yesterdays. And so if you picture these little pockets where it's provided in these seal-tight containers behind these doors. And so first and foremost, we need to shut out yesterdays with all of their errors and all of their failures, mistakes and regrets and disillusions and defeats. We all have them. We all have stuff in our history as we think back. And it's usually the ones that I'm talking about are those ones that as soon as you think about it, somebody brings it up, something clicks, you have some trigger that goes back to it. It's just this thing of defeat that brings you maybe even to a place of depression as you go back there. And the Lord's saying, you don't need to go back there. Shut that door, seal it tight, let it go. We need to shut out yesterdays. We also need to shut out unborn tomorrows and again, live for this day alone. And again, I think that's what this verse is talking about, shutting out the yesterdays, shutting out the tomorrows, dealing with the day at hand. We need to step into the next bulkhead. So if you're in the one area that just gets breached and all of a sudden water's coming in, you want to get out of that, seal the door and into another area. Closing all doors is shutting out the past and the future. Again, it's learning how to live in the present. It's being present. It's learning the specialty of damage controlman. It's remembering worry does not empty tomorrow of its troubles, but it does rob today of its strength. So worry all you want about tomorrow. Does it help anything for tomorrow? Absolutely not. And on top of that, it'll probably mess up your today. You're going to totally go through your day worrying about something that you didn't need to worry about, and so you end up messing up today. It didn't help for tomorrow, and it ends up messing up today. It really makes no sense when you see it on paper. Now, it's hard to tell our mind when we're going through it at the time. I realize that. So today's mercies are for today's burdens or today's troubles. Every day, God appoints a measure of pleasure and pain for that day. Listen to this old, or I'll put it up behind me, this old Swedish hymn in this first stanza. He, speaking of God, whose heart is kind beyond all measure, gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Now, if he's a God that delivers pain and pleasure into our lives, you might disagree with the first part. Really? We can call him kind? He's bringing pain and pleasure our way. We call him kind? Kind beyond all measure. The Lord gives pain and pleasure to each day as he deems best. We don't always agree enthusiastically with what God deems best for us each and every day. It's hard for us to feel that he is kind beyond all measure when he brings about pain or allows that pain into our lives. Causing pain is not generally equated with showing kindness, especially if God's measure for one day is a lot more than another day. But it's true. God gives each day his wise and loving measure of pain and pleasure. Again, to disagree with this is to think that God's not in control of the pains and pleasures of our lives. And so when a pain comes flying our way or a disease or something else that comes about, basically all he can do is look down from heaven and say, sorry, Brian, didn't see that one coming. Oops. And then our God isn't sovereign. Our God isn't on the throne. Our God isn't in control is kind of the other flip side of that. It's a fresh mercy from God for each day's appointed pain. Today's mercies are not designed to carry tomorrow's burdens. There'll be mercies tomorrow for that, but today's mercies are for today's burdens. All the way from Adam and Eve, we read back in the Genesis account there, You go from toiling in the garden to pulling weeds. Congratulations, here's what you have now. By sin entering into the world, that it's going to be pain and trial and troubles, it's there. And any Christian that denies that doesn't know their Bible. It's there. There's a reality to that. But in the midst of, as we're saying, that there's going to be these pains and troubles that are brought about in that way, you have to know that he backs it up with his new mercies that are new every morning. Just wanting and designing life that we would continue to want to cling to him. And you'll do exactly that. You'll run far from him. You'll curse him. You'll shake your fist at him. Or you'll come running to his arms. And even when you don't understand, even like a day like yesterday where it doesn't make sense to us, how do you look in these little girls' eyes and tell them, give an answer of why God said, this is the right time, today I'm taking your mom home with me? There's no good answer for that. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out why the Lord took my mom when, you know, at her age, you know. And you have those. But as we talked about last week, that what he's given us, sorry, is when, on Wednesday night as we're going through Ecclesiastes, what we're reminded of is what he does hand us is not a whole lot of explanations, but a whole lot of promises to be able to get through each and every day. And that's what gets you through it. Not all the explanations. I even said, can you imagine if you ask God, God, tell me why this happened, and he gives you the full explanation. Do you think that would fix it every time? You don't understand what's going on in the other people's lives around you and the whole entire world and the big system and everything else that's going on. That even if he gave us the explanation, we'd probably still be scratching our heads saying, well, that still doesn't make sense because of, you know, and so until we get it all, it's not about explanations, and that's what he said. What he does do is provide us promises, and his mercies that are new every morning is one of those promises. That whatever I deliver for you in that day, I'm going to back it up and I'm going to give you the strength and I'm going to give you the power if you'll continue to come to me and trust in me and believe on me even when you don't get it. That's what faith is. Even when you don't understand. Amen? Amen. Warren Wiersbe said, worrying about tomorrow does not help either tomorrow or today. I might have already quoted that earlier. If anything, it robs us of our effectiveness today, which means we'll be even less effective tomorrow. Someone has said that the average person is crucifying himself between two thieves, the regrets of yesterday and the worries about tomorrow. It's right to plan for the future, even to save for the future, but it is a sin to worry about the future and permit tomorrow to rob today of its blessings. There's three words in this section, actually, what we took from last week. Three words in this section that provide us a victory over worry, and you'll see them kind of setting up behind me. Faith, Father, and first. Faith, trusting God to be able to meet our needs. That was in verse 30. And then Father, knowing that he cares for children and that relationship that we have from him from verse 32. And then seeking first to the kingdom of God, making God and his kingdom and his righteousness and his character, placing that first, putting God's will first in our lives so we might glorify him. If we have faith in our Father and put him first, he's going to meet our needs. Those three things there are what are going to grab our victory over worry. And so if anxiety is an issue for you or you know, maybe more than most, just remember those three words right there, faith and Father and placing him first. For tomorrow will worry about its own things means there'll be enough things to worry about tomorrow, and tomorrow you should worry about those things then. No sense putting them in your head now. I thought this was interesting too. You and I, we're rarely anxious for today. It's the future that bothers us. If we restrict our concern to today, it'll be one of the greatest strengths that we have in defeating our anxieties. Because normally the worry is about, you might be worried about, this meeting, it's gonna be hard a little bit later on today and stuff. But it's usually about the future. The things that we can't control anyways. A shallow thinker might gather from the previous words from verses 25 through 33 about trust, the believer who will have a smooth path through life, because basically saying if you seek first the kingdom of God, he'll take care of your food, take care of your clothing, shelter over your head, you know, those kind of things. All of these things in life, providing all of your needs. That's not what Jesus is saying here. All people have trouble, believers among them. But he's making it clear that there's all the difference in the world between these two things. Facing the problems we'll certainly meet with a firm faith in our Heavenly Father, or facing them with anxiety. And so we trust and we run to him in the midst of those, saying, Lord, this is going on in my life. What do I do? How do I handle this? Or just mull over it in our own heads, trying to figure it out and let it run to anxiety. Tomorrow's mercies for tomorrow's troubles. Again, immediately as we're talking about, let tomorrow worry about tomorrow, immediately in our mind is saying, but what about tomorrow? We're concerned about tomorrow. This, I had to think this through a number of times, but A.T. Robertson, the great Greek, he did a great Greek New Testament, just dissecting all the words, but he had said this statement, the ghost of tomorrow stalks out, so think of a stalk of, any type of plant. The ghost of tomorrow stalks out with all its hobgoblins and of doubt and distrust. It's all these scary, scary images. We had a stalker come to our house messing with us for about a year and a half. And we kind of figured out who we think, in fact, it was. And I looked for this guy for a long time. And when I finally got to meet him face to face and just kind of threatened him not to come back and had a heart to heart with him, when I finally was able to look him in the eyes, the phantom part of it went away. The ghost part of it went away. When it's freaky, somebody's showing up with a hoodie and scaring your daughter when she's in her teen years out in the driveway and stepping out of bushes in the dark with a black hoodie on and all you see is part of a face, it just becomes a freaky boogeyman. And you don't know who this character is and anything else. And so things led to that when I could look him in the eyes and to be able to talk with him as a dad maybe should talk with him and to be able to do that, all of a sudden the boogeyman fears kind of go away when you can see it and you can identify it. And that's what I was thinking of with this ghost of tomorrow, with all its hobgoblins of doubt and distrust and all of that. And we can see it for what it is. But you and I, oftentimes, we're looking out in the future and the things that oftentimes we become anxious of and worried about, what will become of our children or grandchildren? Will they believe? Will they turn away from their faith? What will become of our health? Will we lose our memory before we go? Who will take care of us? Will we spend the last 10 years of our lives outliving all of our friends and family and abandoned and slumped over in a wheelchair at a rural nursing home? What will become of our marriages? Will we ever trust again? Will we laugh and play and pray? Will we be there for our children? Will we be there for each other? Will it be sad and strained and dissatisfying for 30 or 40 more years? What will it be like tomorrow and then tomorrow and then tomorrow after that? What will become of our church? What will tomorrow bring? Will we be together? Will we be winning the lost and standing for righteousness and delivering the oppressed? Will we be sending more and more missionaries to the unreached peoples? Will we be worshiping with zeal for the glory and grace of our great God? What about tomorrow? Will we have the strength to live for tomorrow when tomorrow comes and to live it well and wisely and even more joyfully, no matter what God's measure of pain and pleasure he brings? And so the reminder again from Lamentations, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. And it feels like that some days, that we're just going to get swallowed up by the troubles of the day. But it's through the Lord's mercies that we're not, you and I, we're not going to get consumed because his compassion, he cares so much. His heart of compassion is not going to fail us. They're new every morning, brand new. Great. This is faithfulness. The strength to live tomorrow will be given tomorrow, not today. But it will be given. That's his promise. Our task today is not to have the strength needed for tomorrow's burdens. Our task today is to live by the mercies given for today and to believe that there'll be new mercies for tomorrow. And just a few more things. Today's mercies do not include strength for tomorrow. They include faith that tomorrow's unseen mercies will be sufficient for today. I always say he didn't design us to have this backpack that we can reach back in and pull out a little bit more faith, a little bit more mercy and whatever else for the next day. The backpack is there just for today and it's filled up. And you can keep grabbing out of that for the day, but again, it's not gonna help you for tomorrow in any way. It's only for today. This is so important, I think, for the living out of our Christian faith. It really doesn't matter your age or where you're at, children, teens, college students, young adults, middle-aged people facing major life changes and challenges. For older people with tremendous uncertainties faced before them, is the money gonna run out? Are we gonna have enough? For single people, married people, it includes all of us. This is an important thing for our Christian life, to be able to be present. Live in the present today. It's important because of how natural and strong the impulse in our hearts to want to feel sufficient today for tomorrow's challenges. I don't think we like it when the gauge reads empty at the end of the day when you put your head on your pillow at night and we've used up the mercies and the grace and everything else. And so we're going to bed empty, hoping that when we wake up in the morning, will it really, okay, it was yesterday he provided, but will he really provide again another day? Will he really provide what I need for tomorrow, tomorrow? We don't like going to bed empty. Not feeling yet the power for tomorrow's troubles. Why are they new every morning? Why does God do it that way? It's not because yesterday's mercies were bad or weak. It's because they were yesterday's. Yesterday's mercies were for yesterday's burdens, right? Today's mercies for today's burdens, they're new every morning. You know what it's like? I think it's the same picture of the manna in the wilderness. Why did God do it that way? Why would he say, go collect, you can collect as much as you want of this food falling down from heaven. Collect as much as you can eat for that day. But don't try to hoard it. Don't try to bring it over to the next day because it'll all mold out on you and it's not gonna work. You only get to do that on Friday nights. You can collect double because I'm not gonna send it on Saturday, right? That was the only time you could do that. But he kind of set up that system all the way back then. Why? Because he wants you and I, he knows you and I. And he so loves us as our Heavenly Father, and we're his kids. He longs for us to meet with him each and every day. He longs for you and I to trust him each and every day, especially with the difficult troubles that come flying our way. He knows me, and he knows that I'm gonna try to do it my way. He knows that I think sometimes that I got enough strength, enough power, and I can figure this one out, and I can do it. And sets up life this way. Brian, just worry about living in the present today. Today is an important day. And again, as I go back to our experience yesterday and the brevity of life and all of that, there isn't any one of us that would have thought Lord was taking Jana home yesterday. And you just realize it's the same for every one of us in that way. What about today? What about today? Will I trust him? Will I believe in those mercies and hold on to those mercies and see that they're new each and every day? You live on God day by day, or you don't live on God at all. That's how he set it up. This is his system. Let's rely upon him today, amen? Let's pray. Father, as I'm thinking this through, it's who cares about who we led to the Lord yesterday? What great feat that we did, what money we gave away, who we helped. Truly, even yesterday's, we leave that into your care as far as rewards in the future and all of those things. I'm glad we don't have to show up with a clipboard reminding you of everything we did that was awesome. But yesterday's gone. and we don't know if you're giving us tomorrow. And so, Lord, may we learn how to live in the present and truly be able to enjoy life. That God, that we could wake up with a smile and start thanking you first thing in the morning for the roof over our heads, the sunrise, the birds that are chirping, whatever. And just all your beauty and creation and all that you bless us with. Today, Lord, we want to focus in on what you have for us today. And both the pain and the pleasures that you bring our way, God, we know that you are enough. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together.